Our text of Scripture that the Lord has laid upon my heart for this gospel meeting tonight are the words of verse number 22 of 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. I'll read that verse with you again. It says, "If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha." Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, the hymn writer could say, "My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the pleasures of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I loved thee, my Jesus, it is now." And by those very same words, the hymn writer is testifying in their heart and to others of their love for the Lord Jesus Christ and of their personal faith and trust and acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Redeemer. And praise God, tonight there are many in our world, and yes, they can re-echo those very same words. Yes, there are many tonight, and they can say with the Apostle John of old regarding the Lord Jesus Christ, they can say in their heart and in their soul that we love him because he first loved us. But sadly also, we must say tonight that there are many also in our world, and they have no love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, for such, Christ to them is just a swear word. He is just a curse word. Yes, for multitudes tonight across society, my, the Lord Jesus is a person to be mocked. He is a person to be ridiculed. He is one that is disdained by many. Yes, there are multitudes tonight, and in their heart there is that animosity towards the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, this rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we see it in the Scriptures, especially at the trial of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He was before Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, and the Jewish people were gathered around, and Pilate asked this question, a vital question, a most important question. Did a question that every single one of us in this gathering should also ask. And he says, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" And twice over, the Jewish people replied to that very same question. They said these words regarding the Lord Jesus Christ. They said, "Let him be crucified. Let him be crucified." And with that very statement, they were testifying of the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that there was no love within their heart for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Indeed, the Bible, speaking of that very fact, speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ and says these solemn words. It says, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not." And whenever we come to our text tonight, 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and the verse 22, these words are a most solemn warning for all who do not love the Lord Jesus Christ, for all who reject him as their Savior and as their Lord. Indeed, at the end of this chapter before us, we have the Apostle Paul, and he's giving his farewell address to the Corinthian church. This church's testimony and influence for God had been hindered, had been tainted by sin and by the things of this world. There were false professors of salvation within the professing ranks of that church, and such were not Christ's true followers. They rejected Christ as Savior. They had no love in their heart for the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's against this very same background that Paul utters the words of our text. And he says, "If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha." Yes, this was indeed a most fearful and solemn warning to all in Corinth who had turned away from Christ, to all who had turned their back upon the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God. What a solemn warning. "If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha." You know, we can also say tonight that these same words are a most solemn warning to all, whoever they are tonight, who still will not accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. Am I speaking to one in our meeting tonight? Friend, you're not saved. You have never come to Christ. You have never trusted Him as Savior. As you sit in this meeting tonight, still you refuse Him as Savior and Lord. Let me say, dear friend, tonight to your heart and soul, this text, it's a red letter warning from God to your heart and to your soul tonight. My friend, if you are to be wise tonight, wise for time and wise for eternity regarding the eternal well-being, the eternal salvation of your soul, this is a warning to note. This is a warning to consider. This is a warning to take heed to. It says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. As you and I would consider this word of warning tonight, there are three things I want just to leave with you regarding this text of Scripture. Notice, first of all, here with me plainly and simply the reality of those who do not love Christ. That's the statement that Paul makes here in our text. He says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. And here from the words of the Apostle Paul, we have the divine record stating that there are those and they do not love the Lord Jesus Christ. There were such in Corinth in the day of the Apostle Paul, and there was no love in their heart and soul toward the Son of God, the Savior of sinners. Might is still the same in our society tonight, across society and across the lands of this world. Yes, there are multitudes, and they have no love in their heart for the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Why, we can say tonight upon the authority of the Word of God that a person who does not love Christ is one who has no time for God's commandments. Because Christ tells us in the Gospel of John, He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. A person who loves Christ will have a desire within their heart and within their soul to keep God's law. They will have a desire within their heart and soul to obey the commandments of God. Also, a person who does not love Christ is one who has no faith, no trust in Christ, and no faith in Christ for salvation. The Bible says in the book of Galatians, it says, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. And by the person who loves the Lord Jesus Christ, they will have faith in Christ. Their trust will be in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. As the person who does not love Christ is one who has never trusted Christ as their own and personal Savior. In the Bible, we read of a certain man by the name of Felix. He was the very kind of man that Paul is describing and speaking of in our text tonight. May he live a sinful life and a moral life. Yet in the mercy of God, he met face to face with the Apostle Paul, the servant of the Lord. And Paul spoke to him personally. He was faithful to Felix's heart. He told him to repent of his sin. He told him to get right with God through faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We turn our Bibles just back a few pages to Acts chapter 24. You'll read there of that encounter that Felix, the Roman governor, had with the Apostle Paul. And in verse number 24 of Acts chapter 24, we read of this man Felix, and he had a certain interest in the gospel and in the things of God. He wanted to hear the message of the Apostle Paul. For it says there in verse number 24 of Acts chapter 24 that Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, and it says, he sent for Paul. And he heard him, notice it, concerning the faith in Christ. That's the gospel. He heard him concerning the gospel of Christ. He heard the glorious message that Jesus Christ alone saves. And Paul spoke to this man. He was faithful to his heart. And he says there in verse 25 that Paul, he reasoned with him. What did he reason with them about? Of righteousness, of temperance, and of judgment to come. And it says, and Felix trembled. He spoke to this man how he needed a righteousness which was not of himself, that righteousness which is from God through Christ. He spoke to him of temperance, how there was a need to repent of his sin, to turn away from his sins. He spoke to him, he warned him of judgment to come, of the awful price that his sin would bring upon him. And it affected this man physically. He shook, he trembled. And bear in mind, this was a hard man, a Roman governor. Yet he shakes here as he hears the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ from the Apostle Paul. But what is his final response to the message that he heard that day? Well, look at what he says in the latter part of verse number 25 of Acts chapter 24. He said to Paul the apostle, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. And what does that show us about this man, Felix? It shows that he was not willing there and then that day to put his trust in Christ for salvation. It shows that he was not willing there and there that day to repent of his sin. There was no love in his heart for Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And that's the man that is pictured and typified in our text this evening. And Paul says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. Speaking there of the one who will not repent of their sin, the one who will not trust the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to be their Savior. I wonder tonight in this gospel meeting, is Felix a picture perhaps of someone, some individual in our gathering tonight? Yes, like this man Felix, you have heard the gospel. You have often heard the gospel. You know that you need to repent of your sin, to turn from your sin. The Bible says, turn ye from your evil ways. You know you must put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, and in his blood alone shed at Calvary's cross for the remission of your sins. This is something you know, something you are no stranger to. Perhaps you've heard this message from the earliest of your days upon God's earth. Yet despite all this knowledge, you will not repent of your sin. Despite this knowledge in your heart and in your mind, you will not come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and own him and trust him as your Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke to people like that in his day in the Gospel of John, religious people, yes. But they would not repent of their sin. They would not trust him as Savior. And he says, and ye will not come to me that you might have life. Is that how it is with you tonight as the Lord speaks to your heart in this gospel meeting? And he says to your heart and to your soul, and ye will not come to me that you might have life. Oh, friend, tonight realize this, your failure to repent of your sin and trust Christ as Savior. It is proof, it is evidence. It's the token that you do not love Christ. For if you love Christ, you would have repented of your sin and you would have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ long ago. You think of the words of that hymn that we were singing earlier on by John Newton. What think ye of Christ as the test? To try both your state and your scheme, you cannot be right in the rest unless you think rightly of him. Friend, you can only be right with God if you know the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you trust him as your own and personal Savior, Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Oh, what think ye of Christ tonight? Christ himself, he asks you the question as he did of Peter of old. He says, lovest thou me? Friend, tonight in our meeting, to love Christ is to honor him as Savior, to repent of your sin, and to put your faith and trust in him alone, to be your own and personal Savior. Yes, we see the reality of those who do not love Christ. Notice secondly tonight as we look at this text, notice the shame of those who who do not love Christ. What is that shame? Well, that shame is seen in the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is one who does not deserve to be rejected by man. And that is because of who he is, and also because of what he has done. You think of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Think of him as we find him described to us in the Word of God. The Bible says, yea, he is altogether lovely. And those words, they remind us that Christ is without sin. He is absolutely pure and spotless in the sight of the holy God of heaven. How different Christ is from you and I and all the rest of mankind. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but not so with Christ. He is without sin. He was spotless. He was altogether pure. He did no sin. He could do no sin. He was absolutely impeccable. And my, there is nothing in Christ, not one iota, as it were, in Christ that would cause you and I not to love him. Rather, we can say tonight upon the authority of the Word of God that there is everything in the Lord Jesus Christ to encourage you and I to trust him and to embrace him as our own and personal Savior. He is rightly called in the Scriptures the friend of sinners. Well, the Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ and says he was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. Here on earth, Christ did no evil or harm to anyone. Even his enemy, Pontius Pilate, had to say, I find in him no fault at all. Even Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver, said of Christ, I have betrayed innocent blood. The Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ and says he went about doing good. You read the Scriptures, read the account of his earthly life in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He healed the sick. He caused the deaf to hear. He caused the blind to see. He caused the lame to walk. He healed those that were diseased. He raised the dead. He spoke the truth. He says, I am the truth. Now we think of his incarnation as coming into the world, especially this season of year in our society. And what did he do? He came down from heaven's glory. He relinquished all the glory of heaven because of his love for sinful man. The Bible says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes, for our sakes, the Bible says, he became poor. Bible says of Christ, he had not where to lay his head. He was King of kings and Lord of lords. Let aside all the glory and the splendor and the worship of angels in heaven. He left heaven. He came to this earth. What for? To provide salvation for sinners. To make a way of salvation for sinners. The Bible says of Christ that here on earth, he humbled himself. My, he assumed upon himself human nature for sinful man. The Bible says he made himself of no reputation. And he took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And my, he took upon himself our nature so that he could identify with us, so that he could sympathize with us in all our trials and all our needs. The Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ and says he is touched with the very feeling of our infirmities. The Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ and describes him as that friend that sticketh closer than any brother. And here on earth, in this scene of time, he perfectly kept the law of God for us, something we could never do ourselves. In this, he satisfied the demands of God's law. He could say, I do always those things that please him regarding his heavenly Father. The Bible says he did no sin. And then at the end of his earthly life, the Bible tells us how he was taken by sinful man. And he allowed this to happen. He gave himself up to the cross. And he was crucified upon the cross. What for? Who for? For sinners like you and I in this gospel meeting tonight. Turn in your Bible over a little bit to Romans chapter number 5. And you'll read this from the Word of God. Romans chapter number 5. And Look with me, please, at what the Apostle Paul says there of Christ in verse number 5 of that chapter, and 6 and 7 and 8 of Romans chapter 5. He says in verse 5, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yea, peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Friend, think of that tonight. The babe in Bethlehem who walked through this world, the scene of time, he went to the cross and he died for us. It says Christ died for us upon the cross. For sinners like you and like me in this meeting tonight. And in this sacrifice, yes, he was punished by God the Father for our sins. He paid the penalty, the debt of our sin in full to God. He was our substitute. He was stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. What a sacrifice he gave when he said, "I lay down my life for the sheep." He says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." The Bible says, "Greater love of no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Laying down his life, giving himself up to death on the cross. A terrible death of ignominy, pain and woe, and then the wrath of God was poured out upon him. He cries out on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" During World War I and World War II, indeed other conflicts, and even here in the Troubles in Northern Ireland, our security forces made a great sacrifice for our freedom and our liberty today. But friend, tonight the greatest of all sacrifices is that of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary. For in that sacrifice he made a perfect and a complete atonement, a perfect and complete covering for our sins. By that sacrifice he purchased eternal salvation for all. All who will repent of their sin, all who will come to him, who will trust him as their own and personal Savior. The Bible says by his own blood he obtained eternal redemption for us. What does that salvation mean? Turn back to the beginning there of Romans chapter 5. Look at what Paul says about the effects of that salvation. Verses 1 and 2 of Romans 5, he says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, you can obtain peace with God, your Maker, your Creator. You can be reconciled with God. Look at verse 2, it says, "Of Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." Notice the mention there of grace and glory. My, through the Lord Jesus Christ, you can know grace. Grace to live the Christian life, to serve God here on earth. Through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be absolutely sure and certain of glory, of heaven one day. And this has all been provided for us because Christ has come. The incarnation of Christ has taken place. He was born in Bethlehem. He grew up. And he walked amongst men here on earth, and then he was taken and died upon the cross of Calvary. What for? To purchase and provide us so great salvation for sinners like you and like me. Oh, this is the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. The hymn writer surely and rightly could say the love of Christ is more than tongue can tell. In light of this, in light of all that Christ is, in light of all that he has done, surely then we must say it is most unreasonable, it is most shameful for people not to love Christ. It is most unreasonable, it is most shameful for people to reject Christ as their own and personal Savior. You know, such treatment of Christ, what does it show to you and I? shows deny the sinful depravity of man's heart before Almighty God. For the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And that is why people refuse and reject Christ, because of that sinful heart, that sinful nature within. And dear friend, in our meeting tonight, the fact that you're still not saved, the fact that you still reject Christ as Savior, in spite of all that He is, in spite of all that He has done, it shows, dear friend, to you and to me, the very worst of sins. Oh, to not love Him and not accept Him as Savior, yes, it is a most shameful thing against God, our Maker, our Creator, and the provider of our salvation. My, yes, we would think little of a child tonight who rejected its loving parents, who have given so much and done so much for that child. But friend, understand this tonight, to reject Christ as Savior is the worst of all sins. It's the chiefest of all sins. It's an awful thing. It's a shameful thing. It's a most unreasonable thing to reject the Son of God as Savior, the sinless, spotless, flawless Son of God, who died on the cross, the just for you and I, the unjust, that He might bring us to God. Yes, the reality of those who have no love for Christ and reject Him as Savior, the shame of those who have no love for Christ and reject Him as Savior. Notice one final thought from our text tonight. Notice the ruin of those who do not love Christ and those who reject Him as Savior. That ruin is spelt out by Paul in our text when he says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. Notice those final words, solemn words. The ruin there is spelled out of the sinner who does not love Christ, who rejects Christ, and those words, anathema, maranatha. What does those words mean? That word anathema literally means accursed of God, separated from God. It's the very same word that the Apostle Paul uses in Galatians 1 verse 8 when he speaks of those who preach a false gospel. There he says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel than that which we have preached, let him be accursed, let him be anathema. By the person who preaches a false gospel, the one who rejects Christ as Savior, they bring upon themselves the wrath of God. They bring upon themselves the condemnation of God. They bring upon themselves the curse of God. You think of that word maranatha right at the end of the text. It literally means this: the Lord will come, or the Lord is coming again. And it refers to the Lord's second coming in power and in great glory. And when He returns, the Bible says of Christ that He will judge this world. He will judge this world in righteousness and in truth. And on the day of His judgment, when Christ appears in power and great glory, all who do not love Christ, all who have rejected Him as Savior, all who have not trusted Him as their Savior, they will face the wrath of God. The wrath of the Lamb of God will be poured out upon them, and they will be sentenced to eternal punishment in hell for their sin and for their rejection of Jesus Christ as Savior, the Son of God. Turning your Bible over to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. And look at what you read there in verses 7, 8 and 9 of this chapter. Here it says, unto you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels. Speaking of the second coming of Christ. And how will He come? It says He will come in flaming fire. Notice it. Taking vengeance on who? On them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. What an awful sentence. On that day, all who love not Christ, all who have no saving interest in the Lord Jesus Christ, they will be eternally cut off from God, separated from God, separated from God for all of eternity in that place which the Bible calls hell, the lake of fire, the blackness of darkness forever. They'll be cut off from God's goodness forever, cut off from God's love forever, cut off from God's grace forever, cut off from God's mercy forever. What an awful end to those that love not Christ, stand before Christ in the day of judgment without knowing and trusting Him as their own and personal Savior. In recent weeks, that terrorist group Hamas have felt the wrath of the Israeli Defense Forces because of their awful crimes on the 7th of October against innocent men and women and children. But on the day of Christ's judgment, all who know Him not as Savior, they will incur, they will feel, they will know the wrath of God being poured out upon them for all of eternity. That wrath will never end. Think of the words of John chapter 3, verse 36. It says, "He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Yes, in hell, all who love not Christ, they will be tormented, punished for their sins forever and ever. And in hell, yes, they'll be in the company of Satan forever and ever. And in the fallen angels of Satan, they'll be in their company also forever and ever. For on the day of judgment, Christ will pass sentence to those who have rejected Him as Savior, those who love Him not as Savior and Lord. And this is the sentence they will hear on the day of judgment: "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Oh, men and women, young people in our meeting tonight, can I say, this is the awful ruin, the most awful of ruins. The Apostle Paul warns you of in our text tonight. And he says, "If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema." Maranatha. Oh, and dear friend, this is the awful ruin that awaits you. Should you die in your sin, die without knowing and trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and be found before the Lord on the day of judgment without God's so great salvation, your sentence will be anathema, maranatha, to be cut off, severed from God for all of the countless ages of eternity to come. Oh, at the coming of Christ, yes, the wrath of God will be forever upon you. The Bible speaks of the sinner in hell, and their torment is forever. It says the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. There is no escaping that judgment, no ending of that judgment. It goes on and on and on and on for all of the countless years of eternity to come. What a difference. What a difference from the end of all those who die and leave this world loving Christ and trusting Christ as their own and personal Savior. What a difference from those that leave this world depending on the blood of Christ for the forgiveness of their sins and depending upon the righteousness of Christ for their acceptance with God. We read of such in the character of Simeon. You read about him in the Gospel of Luke. He was such a one. He loved Christ. He received Christ and trusted Him as His own and personal Savior. And as He neared the end of His earthly life, he said these words. He says, "Lord, now lettest Thy servant depart in peace according to Thy word, for mine eyes have seen Thy salvation." He embraced Christ as His own and personal Savior. The Bible says of the child of God who knows Christ, who trusts Christ as Savior, it says, "Say ye to the righteous, it shall be well with him." The Bible says, "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors." There's eternal rest, eternal peace, Eternal pardon for the child of God who leaves this world in Christ, knowing Christ, loving Christ, trusting Christ as their own and personal Savior. Oh, friend, in our meeting tonight, by saving faith in Christ, you can know your sins forgiven. Forgiven by God for all of eternity. You can have peace with God. You can look forward to eternal life, eternal joy in heaven. There is a rest, the Bible says, for the people of God, the eternal rest of heaven. But out of Christ, apart from Christ, there's no pardon for your sin. There's no peace with God. There's no joy and satisfaction in your life. There's no heaven, but rather hell lies before you, where there is eternal weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. You think of the little children's chorus that we often sing in our children's meetings. Oh, how awful the cost if my soul should be lost, and in hell if I die as I am, if I die as I am. Over in the book of Isaiah, we read these solemn words regarding the ungodly, regarding those that have no love for Christ, who trust Him as Savior. It says in Isaiah 57, "But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and doubt. There is no peace, saith my God to the wicked." There's no peace for the ungodly when they come to die and ushered out into a lost eternity without hope, without God. Forever cut off from God, severed from God. All mercy from God is over. All grace and all love from God for them is over and gone. Friend, tonight heed the warning note of Scripture. If you're not saved tonight, don't go on without the Lord. Don't go on turning your back upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as your Savior. Come to Him tonight. The Bible says, come, for all things are now ready. He's provided all that is needed for you to be saved and to be right with God and to be sure of heaven by His death upon the cross of Calvary and by the very fact that He rose again victorious from the grave. Now, speaking of the Christian, the person who is saved, the person who has trusted Christ as Savior, the person who loves Christ, John Wesley, he said these words as such. He says, our people die well. The Christian dies well. Friend, in our meeting tonight, if you are to die well, one day you will die should the coming of the Lord tarry. If you're to die with the hope of heaven within your heart and within your soul, then close in with Christ and trust Him. Call upon Him for salvation. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Christ says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He'll take you in. He'll save your soul. He'll forgive your sins. He'll make you His child, and He'll take you one day to heaven to be with Himself forevermore. We'll close our meeting tonight by singing together the hymn number 275. Oh, what a Savior that He died for me. From condemnation He hath made me free. He that believeth on the Son, saith he, hath everlasting life. We're going to sing just the first and the last verse. Verses 1 and 4, standing as we sing. And if you're not saved tonight, lift up your heart in prayer to the Lord. Ask the Lord to save you. Thank Him for dying for you upon the cross. Ask Him to wash away your sins by His precious blood, and He will save you and fit you for heaven. 275, verses 1 and 4, along with the chorus, standing as we sing. Stand as we sing. Amen.
Our Father and our God, we thank Thee tonight for Thy presence with us. We thank Thee, Lord, for help given in the ministry of Thy Word. Take Thy Word, that which has been of Thee, write it upon hearts, write it upon souls. We thank Thee for all in this meeting tonight who love Christ, who have embraced Christ and trusted Him as their own and personal Savior. Bless Thy people. Lead them on with God. We thank that the Christian dies well in Christ. But Lord, for any in our meeting tonight not saved, who have never come to Christ, never accepted Him by faith, to be their own and personal Savior, disturb, we beseech of Thee, the sleep of death within their soul. Give them grace, O God, tonight, to call upon the Lord for salvation, and know their sins dealt with, put away by the blood of the cross. Know what it is for them to be saved and ready for heaven. Answer prayer to this end. Dismiss us with Thy fear and favor. Give us traveling mercies to our homes. Speak on, we beseech of Thee. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the abiding fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide upon all this night and always. Amen. Amen.